Why don't they have it in Zaire? Why don't they have this product in Zaire? Nobody asked for it. The people are infected, the people are primitive. They wouldn't know if you tried to pour it down them. Do you hear what they're saying in Zaire as they question these little people in their little native languages? They think it's a curse. It is. But like all of those curses from God, it always is man. God doesn't curse you. If God wants to get rid of you, he will just get rid of you. You're just no more. And ones have walked out of this very room, well, over across the road, saying, doesn't sound like God to me. Well, how much do you know about God? A lot more than you want to own up. You don't want to cross whatever your perceptions are in this environment with the truth. Now that's the fact. And if you want something, and it's a very earthly thing that you want, or you perceive, or you want others to believe, then you will say, well, I just can't come to that belief system. You don't have to. And you don't need to make a big speech about it. And you don't have to denounce anyone. But you usually end up showing your ignorance. Oh, and it'll sell to a lot of people because they want to buy it. Not because it's a valid product, but because they want to buy it. You're right. You're right. It doesn't sound like God. Ha, 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 ha. What does sound like God? These same people, and I want you to each ask yourself, what does sound like God? What is godly? What rules do you really think God would or should have for mankind? Now, he has created you, or you wouldn't be here. You would not be here 5 minutes if you didn't think there was a higher power. You may not know what it is, but you do honor an order, if nothing else, an order of non-chaos. If there is some system to this mind thought form on which you're experiencing, somebody, something had to think it up. And you may be thinking up all of these little things around you. That is your creative ability to use whatever is created in overall to fragment off for your little creation, your play. And there are as many plays as there are individuals, and most of you as individuals have 50 plays going at a time anyway. Every time you go to cook a meal, that is one play that you play out, you experience. I'm the role of the cook. I'm going to decide what I'm going to create. And your argument can be, yeah, but you've got to go get the food particles from somewhere. Well, I didn't say I was going to create the food. I said I'm going to create a meal. And I've got the instructions here, and I can get the food, therefore I can create this. Well, the higher you go into the realms of creation, the bigger the things you are, or you have the capability of creating. And so you think, well, why in the world would you, commander, or whoever you're working with, create such chaos? Well, because my play would be very dull without the chaos. Quite frankly. And you wouldn't grow at all. And my responsibility is to get you high enough in your understanding of your own creative ability to begin to function, for goodness sakes, worthy of God instead of worthy of your enemy. I mean, after all, that's what you said you wanted. Your enemy says, I just want to produce the best enemy to those good guys that I can. And it looks like he's ahead. Well, he's not ahead. He doesn't know what to do about you. He doesn't know what to do about you. He can't just wipe you off because that is not in your thought form. Some of you waver. Oh, I think he can. No, he can kill you. He cannot wipe you away. That's where you're wrong. Death does not mean what you use it for. He can shoot you and you can fall over dead with your body, but that only releases you. Now what are you going to do? If you're a soul being, now you're really stuck between a rock and a hard place and choices. Conscious choices. Think about this a minute. You're on a battlefield. Men are falling to the right and falling to the left. Why are they falling? Has it ever crossed your mind why they fall?
They choose to.
Right. Well, a bullet hit me in the stomach. I have to fall over and die. Why? Why don't you stop the bleeding? Because that's the next thing that's going to get you, is the bleeding. If you don't want to die, why don't you stop the bleeding? Be sensible enough maybe to lay there until your enemy, so he doesn't shoot you again. But what is magic about a little quarter inch or half inch bullet? Well, it went right through my chest. Did it hit your heart? Well, no, but it impacted me.
Sure.
Well, at the moment, it doesn't even hurt. You realize, oh, most people, when they have been stabbed, do not know it until they see the blood, and, oh, God, I'm dead. Mel Brooks does a good job with this one. You know, somebody pulls a trigger and you get a loud bang and the other one falls over, dead. Why? The body's trained to react that way. And it's smart. You might live another day. Rather than give him a chance to cut your head off. That doesn't mean that I want you out there where you're going to get shot. But for goodness sakes, don't fall over dead if a bullet hits you. Put your finger in the hole, as a matter of fact. And then get someone who maybe can put a clamp on the bleeders. It's harder if your throat is cut from ear to ear. You will notice that in the rituals, they will cause something so severe that you can't survive it. If your throat is cut like Nicole Brown's, you're going to die because all of your life substance will pour out. So it's nice to avoid that. We don't need any dead martyrs. On the other hand, we have to be, quote, a secret society also, or they come and take everything away from you. We have to act within the laws, within the regulations, all of the regulations. And that means we don't go out and advertise greatly. Well, but wouldn't we be able to keep our paper going longer if we could advertise more? What are you going to advertise? obviously people are not interested enough in subscribing to the paper to make it pay for itself. So maybe it just becomes an advertisement rag to sell the products that allow us to get through. Yes, we need to bring the truth. Nobody said anybody had to read it. We just have to bring it. So there is some responsibility in the paper, yes. But not against whatever the regulators bring down upon you. I am going to publish this if you kill me. Well, now, isn't that smart? You don't even have an advertisement community out there that you have to pay or repay. Be glad of that. They came against Spotlight because they advertise guns. They can offer their paper for practically nothing compared because they take advertisement. Then they deserve whatever comes against them. Does that mean that we can afford to just not say anything to offend anybody? No, because no matter what you say, you offend someone. And yet, if you're not careful, you will be hanging that donkey over your shoulder while it is breaking your back. So you go by the guidelines, you go by the rules, you go by what freedoms you have left, and if they take away those freedoms, you quit publishing it. Because your point is not to have a paper, your point is to get a remnant through here. And if you lose sight of that goal, we can't make it. And I intend to make it. So I guess I should say you can't make it. Because I'm going to make it. And there are a lot of people scattered around. This is only one little tiny cell. I, Hatan, am not responsible for cells somewhere else. Don't tell me that I'm writing for someone in Timbuktu and I'm going to tell them to tell you what to do. It doesn't work that way. And we have a necessity to function here. That does not mean that everybody on the globe can function here. You won't have a globe if everybody functions right here. And usually it really looks good to be here until you get here. Oh, well, shoot, I didn't know it'd be like this. And you don't even have any church services. Why in the world do these people continue to come in there and sit? Believe it or not, this is a business meeting. It really is. This is the business we're about. And no, God isn't going to make it easy. You're here because you thought you could do it. And you're here because you failed every other time in some way. Not God you failed. Not me you failed. You failed yourself. Because the minute you cross over, you remember. Oh, shit. And now I can't do anything about it until I get back there. And all of you ones who, you know, oh, well, they made a saint out of Peter, so we can really take a deep breath, Dharma, and think, well, I mean, after the cross and the upside down and the hot foot and everything, you know, well, you finally made it to be St. Peter, only to find St. Peter isn't the same Peter. Oh, shucks. Didn't make it, really. Well, you all made it. You would not be even interested in this. You'd be out there amongst the ones throwing the stones. Because what glory is there to be within? That's all there is the glory of being within. But I was going to make my bundle in there with you also, because you said abundance is God, and I repeat it. So I'm all for making a bundle within it. But we have to be willing to accept it. The gifts can be just flooded all over you, pouring off all around you. And unless you accept it and accept the responsibility of holding it and taking it, it's not a gift. You have a giver, maybe. And God stands there offering. But with the acceptance of the gift comes the act of responsibility. Oh, that's too high a price to pay. And since I don't have any money, I guess I'm out. That's your choice. But it seems to me a better way would be to build my life so that I can accept the gift no matter where I am. And yes, sir, it's a responsibility. And I know that each one of you in here will say, I haven't accepted any particular responsibility. I just didn't have an alternative. I get that all the time. I didn't have a choice. Sir, I would not be doing this if I'd had any other choice. There wasn't one. There was no other alternative. No. There were all sorts of alternatives. You chose this alternative. Well, that was dumb, wasn't it, of me? Give me some more and I'll retry it. And you know what? You'll go for the hard one again. An actor on a stage doesn't always want to be an extra. And he is no good at what he is doing if he is only happy to go in and get paid to be an extra on the set. The aspiration of a true actor is to go to the top of the heap, be the best actor. And I'm not talking about the Kazarian nuts who just want to get up there to be the big shot. I am talking about one who wants to pull off his role so well that, number one, you can't tell he's acting. And he is the best. He gets the prime role. And that takes work. Oh, some will say, that's not work. That is love of what I'm doing. Well, what are you doing? If it is work, then you're doing it wrong. And I'm not talking about all the complaints. That's part of it. I just work until I'm so tired. Then you're not doing it right. You're not doing the right thing. On the other hand, you have to be careful that you're not letting someone else manipulate your life by what their brothers are. All of you fit that category. Well, I have no right to speak up. Oh, yes, you have every right to speak up. You just don't have a right to take over. You certainly have a right to voice an opinion and put an expression out there. And there will always be some with authority higher than you. I've got it all the time. Thou shalt not do that, Commander. Well, who would dare speak to a commander in such a tone? Every one of you. There's respect in this room, but there's not a one in this room who wouldn't tell me to go shove it if I said the wrong thing. And that's what you're about. It is your responsibility to not accept the things that are not right. It is not the responsibility of the teacher not to throw them in there. And as we meet like this, it isn't a matter of particularly primary lesson time. It is just simply a reminder of what we're about and how easy it is to get distracted. I do have an advantage. I am never distracted from my overall goal. And I have one thing that really bothers me, is that I am annoyed by the distractions that come upon all of you, that which in turn distract me. That means that none of us were born with patience, and therefore we must pay our penalty for that. But every entity, every creation deserves respect for its being. Every being of God, every soul essence of God, every last breath is sacred. And when you can learn to respect each thing in sacredness, especially yourself, you will graduate. You will pass on into higher understanding. And this is what the message was all about loving and respecting your enemy. It doesn't mean that you go grovel with your enemy. It doesn't mean you fight your enemy. It means you bless your enemy. And you're smart if you respect your enemy, because only through respecting can you learn to appreciate what he's going to do and what he's doing. And then he holds no power over you. The laws may hold some power over what you do, but nothing holds power over you save God. And that is a mutual thing. He gives you full freedom, full creative capacity. But as Lucifer learned, when you take it and misuse it, it comes back to you in kind. And Lucifer was cast out because he thought, I want to be God. I don't have to listen to you. He was a patriot. I don't have to listen to you. I built a constitution and I'm going to be you. Fine. You go be you somewhere else. Well, I like the physical realm anyway. I can really manipulate and feel like a big shot. And those crazy nuts, they'll do anything. Fine. You go do that, son. But you will never come through my door again until you learn the difference in right and wrong. Oh, well, who'll miss you? Well, in the darkness of the midnight, you miss God, because there's nothing that fills up the being. No matter what you get, no matter what you do, nothing fills up the void where God belongs. And when we talk about love and unconditional love, God loves you unconditionally. That does not mean he likes you most of the time. He will let you be mischievous. He will let you be all sorts of things. But there are a lot of conditions. There are easy conditions. One says, oh, well, I just can't decide what to do in this instant. Oh, yes, you can. All you're having trouble is deciding what you will do, not what is right. And you see, no matter how they try to train that out of you, and some without soul will just, they don't know right from wrong, but those are called retarded. if they truly do not know, they're retarded. And in that instance, they're without blame. So every being is birthed knowing. You can't come to me and say, well, I didn't know. I must be one of those robots. Oh, no, even the robots know. Well, I just couldn't help myself. The devil made me do it. Yeah, I sure did. But you gave the power to him. Well, yeah, but they're going to come and execute me. Don't you love it when you go to court and they talk about executing a document or executing your case or executing something? I mean, that's dead. And then they do that from their black robes, from their level up here above you. You're just a little nothing. In the judicial system, boy, if you are the client, you ain't nothing. You just pay the bills. And when the bills run out, you go to jail. Usually ruins your credit because the lawyers will turn around and sue you for their bill. You don't have an advocate, do you? Not really. You don't even have the best advocate money can buy. It doesn't seem to be enough money. So you have to know that. And you have to know it in advance. I mean, when they arrested that bunch from Montana, the first thing that came over the fax waves and flooded us was send money. Send money. We got to get lawyers. Why didn't they think of that before they carried their guns? That to me is stupidity. And if you want to carry your gun, I'm telling you, go carry your gun. But don't come ask me to get you out. And in this instance, I can use Ray Rennick, who apologized to me, wrote to me, Hatan, and said, sir, I'm sorry, I have to do it my way. Don't do it. Don't do it. I have to do it. And so he did it. You cannot have a felony conviction, be on probation, and carry a gun into a courtroom. Whoops. Now get me out. Get you out. So you can turn around after tomorrow and say, I'm sorry, sir, I have to do it my way. Up yours. Well, okay. He got 8 years. He got 8 years when he should not have gotten anything. They hanged him on what he did do. You don't put other people in jeopardy by yelling fire in a crowded theater. And of course they made a law of it. Because there are always some who will do it. You do not be able to go and say to people, I have hung this wire and if you touch it, it is going to blow up on both ends. Then to get in a courtroom and say, well, there weren't any explosives. And I do have a right to have explosive, and I do have a right to have bullets, and I do have a right to have this gun. Just because I aimed it at you and said I'm going to shoot doesn't mean anything. I'm telling you, if you tell me you have explosives on either end of that wire, and it's a tripwire, and I stumble over it, even if I can't see it, I'm going to try to put you away. Because you're not safe to yourself or anybody around you. And Ray Rennick might very well at this point, if he ever hears this, say, well, Commander really wasn't my friend, was he? Go back to where I said, don't do it! because you will do something we cannot undo. And it will cost hundreds of thousands of dollars even to leave you in. And unfortunately, I have to come back and say, I told you so. Quit giving me a reason to do that. It has cost thousands and thousands of dollars. He is a fine man, a fine patriot, knows the wrong parties, but doing it all for the wrong reasons. You will not take my rights away. When you can start saying, you may not take my brother's rights away. You may not really take the rights of this nation as a population away. And I just happen to be a member of the citizenry. And I am responsible enough not to threaten, not to go blow up my brother in a building to make a point, not to hang trip wires that threaten to blow up anybody, and eventually somebody gets hurt. David Koresh's group down there had a bunch of assault weapons. They were making automatic weaponry, and they had stolen property on that property right out of a California armory. Now, you tell me how that's right. Is what the BATF did right? No. That doesn't mean that William P. Clark out here in California was right for his hoods to steal it out of the armory and ship it down there. You see, you might have a Davidian group. But I have bad news for you. The Davidian group took their name. It's sort of like David Alroy, the Jewish flag with a six-pointed star. That is not the star of King David. That is a star of David Alroy, who pronounced himself to be the Messiah. And his own father-in-law bumped him off, took him out. That's loyalty for you. The Davidian group were a part of the group of a man named Davidian who was head of the mob that went in and stole the armory products and shipped them to Koresh. Koresh isn't even his name. And all Koresh had to do after all of this began to happen. You see, we're talking mind control. MK Ultra was the name of the program. And they went just like program beings. And does this man, did he really believe in Christ? Did he really believe in God? Did he really believe in anything? He believed in a six-pointed star, David. Did that make him Jewish or Christian? How could you wipe out that Christian cult down there? They were just minding their own business. Well, you're not supposed to be able to, are you? So they could kill a bunch of birds with one stone. While David Koresh walks out the back door onto a helicopter and out of there and lives happily ever after in Tel Aviv until his next assignment.
Was he aware that he was going to be lifted off? This was no surprise to him. He was in on all
of that.
Oh, yeah.
He knew exactly what was going to happen. Whether he knew what was going to happen while he was teaching or setting up that cult operation was one thing. But he is a program robot right out of Monarch MK Ultra. There were eight of them. And you are dealing with fragments of mind control that is unthinkable. It did its job. Don't do it. Don't do it unless you truly want out of the action. as long as we don't push, we can continue to tell the truth. They can denounce us. They can continue to shoot at us. But unless you break the laws, they have to look the fool. And I know, I hear, yeah, well, what the hell does that mean? I don't have a house, I don't have this, I don't have that. They take everything, they make your life incredibly miserable. They're going to take all your stuff anyway. Why don't you try to hang on to it? Because if you stop trying the ridiculous ways, they're going to let you hang on to it. They will help you keep it. You just have to get through the little hoods. Even Stephen Horn has finally gone too far, if the attorneys will bring a stop to it. All you've got to do is turn around, Mr. Tips, and sue Stephen Horn. That gets him out of the case, and man, he's in trouble. And he knows he's in trouble. But until somebody puts their foot down and does something within the law, they're going to take everything anyway, aren't they? That doesn't mean you take your gun and go shoot Stephen Horn. I would miss the little creature. He's going to play the game, and he's playing it better, do you see? He can keep this thing going forever, sucking money. And your attorneys let him continue to suck money. And your attorney will say, yes, but when we win, we'll get back. The hell you will. How much money have you gotten back so far? Out of anything? And if you've already paid more to attorneys than you're ever going to get back, what have you gained? Nothing. Except interruptions in your lifestyle, trying to make court appearances. Look how far we are with John Schrader's property. Well, you have to take it step by step, don't you? Because there's no other way that you can, as citizens, do it. There's no way to push a system that is now entrenched in its own corruption. And it doesn't mean that necessarily the judge hearing that particular case has any wish to hurt John more than Eleanor. But you got to think about the local attorneys. You don't want to hurt Mr. Gooden, now do you?
Yes.
Well, I do. At the very least, he is incompetent.
I hate that.
But you see, most people have never even had to encounter the need for a lawyer. And if they did, it was on a personal liability suit where the lawyer would take it on a contingency. And you never even had to go to court. The lawyers don't want you in court. They don't want the victim there. The witness. Used to, you had a courtroom where you had a courtroom. Now you have a sanctuary and you don't even want any witnesses in there, so you don't give them any chairs. And you can't pass the barrier. And you certainly, if you have an attorney, you can't even open your mouth. You can't even if you're representing yourself. But at least if you're representing yourself, you get on the other side of the barrister. That's why they call themselves barristers. They are up there, and you are behind the barrister box. The gate, the fence. Well, you can go to law school, and you can learn their laws. No, what you learn is to be a member of the thug society. Now, you can leech off of those ignorant people. Because pretty soon that is the only livelihood you know. I begin to shudder at the misuse of things. you have something as complicated as the mind. And you want to go off and be a mind deprogrammer or something. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. What are you going to deprogram if you don't have an idea in Hades what it's about? What are you going to deprogram into? And what makes you think that you are so smart as to know what the programming is? Well, I can help someone to stop smoking. I can help, you know, these are nice things. And those are obvious things. But what are you going to do when you get back there somewhere into this regression or this uncovering of problems, and you've got a 300-pound man, and you uncover something and he becomes violent? Because I want to tell you, in that state, you are dealing with energy. And you all witnessed that with John Schraefer, right here. He went from a total invalid shuffling along to a man that could walk. So you have to be very careful what it is you think it is you want to do. And do you take the responsibility for that which you're capable to do? Or do you deprive others of that talent? You see, when you come into responsibility, you have to think about those things. And when you know you have the capability, do you utilize it or do you let it go? Because you now also come into the responsibility of recognizing the power that you hold in your hands. And are you able to take total responsibility for it? Or is it just a toy, a tool, that can harm as well as help? It will not do as much harm as it can do help. Because theoretically, no one should come to you for those services unless they are having a problem with it. Anyone dealing with life doesn't have a problem. You may think that one has a problem, but he doesn't. And he may very well have a bad problem. But he is the only one who knows what it is. It's like a dream. Don't go to a dream analyzer to find out what you dreamed. That is the most private thing of all things in the universe, is your dream. Now, others have gotten to the point where they can monitor your dreams, and they do. You better just hope you're doing something important enough in the nighttime that what they're monitoring makes them stand off and leave you alone. Be careful who you're working with in your dream, because they'll use you.